All right, I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we read the Word of God this morning from 2 Timothy as in the New Testament as well as the book of Exodus. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, we've been reading this quite a bit, really the theme of our series. The Apostle Paul says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer." Exodus chapter 20, Moses, God said this through Moses. He said, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your sons or daughters, nor your male or female servants, nor your animals, nor any foreigner that's residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blesses the Sabbath day and made it holy." Father, we thank you for this morning, Jesus. Thank you, God, for this day of life. We give you praise this glorious day for your love and your presence. Lord, we've left our homes to come to this house, to this place, to this gathering of believers. Lord, we've come to connect with God this morning. We come to quiet our hearts. We ask, Lord, that you would speak to us today. I ask, Lord, that you would touch your people this day. And heal your people this day, and give your people this day rest and peace as they dwell in your presence. We ask, Lord God, that you would touch our eyes, all of us, that we might see what it is that you want to speak into our lives. I ask, Lord, you would touch our ears, that we might hear the voice of God this morning. And in doing so, this would be done for God's glory. And we pray this in his mighty and holy name. And all those who love the Lord would say what? Amen. Y'all may be seated. And you've probably heard the rumor by now that in the Bible, sometimes our Christian faith is described in military terms. In the days in which the New Testament was being written, the Roman Empire was ruling Israel, and Roman soldiers were everywhere. And the Apostle Paul, as a follower of Jesus, kind of saw this, and he related Roman military soldiers and their weaponry and their outfits, and related it to military terms in our Christian life. In Romans, or in Ephesians 6, with the armor of God, he would say, "Hey, we have the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and the belt of truth and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and a shield of faith to extinguish the flaming arrows of the devil." The Apostle Paul writes to his young protege, Timothy, and calls him a soldier of Jesus Christ, and that our job is to follow our commanding officer. And when you think about it, if you look at our faith in these terms, it works. Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Jesus is the captain of the hosts of heaven. Jesus is our commanding officer who came and conquered the greatest battles that you and I could never fight, beating death itself. And so, to follow Jesus, we are basically soldiers under his command. And so, taking this idea or this genre, we created this series and we called it Basic Training Bootcamp. Wouldn't it be fun just to kind of do a series on, hey, it's the brand new start of the year. What's the basics of the Christian faith? Let's just kind of visit this again. And so we took the idea of you and I going into basic training. We're at boot camp. And, you know, when my son went to boot camp, the first phase of there was called red phase. And they spoke into these these recruits a lot about why it was important that they were here, why it's important to love your country, why it's important to serve. And so we talked about, why do we do what we do? Because we love our God, we love our King. And the motivation of all that we do is based in our love for Christ. And from that, we work. From our love of country, the soldiers got up and worked. And you do push-ups, and you're learning formations and saluting and shooting guns and all this and that and the other. And we talked the last week about work. God calls you to work unto Him. God calls you as people of work. God is a person who worked. God is still at work, and He calls you to work. And because you love God, you work unto the Lord. The next week was about servanthood. I shared a story about my son. One day, his battle buddy kind of froze, and my son helped him on the firing range, and they saw that, and they rewarded him, and they gave him a promotion at basic training because he was watching out for his buddy. And they like this idea of servanthood where we're watching out for each other. And Jesus tells us as soldiers to watch out for each other, right? Jesus washes our feet. Jesus is the ultimate servant. He says, as I serve you, you serve one another. And in that, it's a blessing. And so we talked about that. And then Pastor Vince came and spoke 2 weeks in a row, great sermons on us being learners, being disciples. When you're in basic training, you want to learn how to do this right. And then last week, he talked about not only just being a disciple, but there is an opportunity where you can be a gunny sergeant and start discipling other people. And for all of us, we all need to learn the basics of basic training. And for us, why don't we learn how to train others? Why not? Right? As a matter of fact, in next Sunday, Pastor Vince is going to go through teaching on this is the basics of the Christian faith, and you should catch all these things, and this is how you can train your grandchildren or your neighbors or your own family. You know, you can become a drill sergeant as well. And that's starting next week. Today we're going to end this series on rest. Rest. Soldiers need to learn how to rest. It's important that we learn how to rest. Soldiers that are in constant battle mentally fall apart. And this is a proven fact. In the military, they call it battle fatigue. They call it shell shock. They call it battle neurosis. Here's a picture. This is called the 1,000-yard stare. They actually have a diagnosis for this. It's an unfocused, despondent, and weary gaze in which a manifestation of shell shock is seen. In World War II, they noticed that you had to get soldiers off the line after the maximum of 180 days in combat, or the possibility of this multiplied greatly. It went way up. Shell shock, battle fatigue. The military learned we have got to get soldiers off the battle line to refocus, to get them back, to kind of decompress. And if we don't, these guys lose it. They need to have a time of R&R. Soldiers need to have a time of rest and relaxation, to clear their heads, to refocus, to get some distance before they get back into the fight. People, God knew this all along. God knew this all along. In Exodus 20, it says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it set apart or holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath day unto the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughters or male, female servants, nor your animals or anybody living in your house or residing with you. It's a day of rest, people. Why? Because God rested on this day. Balance. Balance. Can you say this with me? Balance. One more time, you ready? Balance. God expects you as His soldiers to be people of balance, people of health. Why did God rest on the seventh day? Was God tired? Did God go, man, that Grand Canyon really wiped me out? Man, I need to rest. Is that why God did that? God is all powerful. God doesn't need to rest. But he's a great commanding officer. He's modeling it for you and for me. When God worked, he rested. And he does this as a model. Our commander-in-chief is a great leader. And he models this for you and I. The art, the discipline of rest. God works, and God took a day off work. I want you to take notes this morning as we talk about this very important topic, especially for you people living in Orange County. You're some of the most messed up people on the... You realize that, don't you? They say that Americans just live in a faster pace, but not only Americans, but Californians. And not only Californians, Orange Countyans. You are the most messed up people of all. You guys can't slow down, right? You need to take notes this morning. You ready? Here it is. In the Bible, rest is not a suggestion, but a what? Command. A command. To not work is laziness. I mean, unless you're disabled, and if you're looking for work, that's one thing. But for a person just to say, I just don't want to work, that's laziness. To not rest is disobedience. Is disobedience. Take notes and get in your growth groups as we talk about this. Stir this sermon in. Write this down. God expects his people to be people of balance. Balance. Are any of you feeling overwhelmed today? Are any of you feeling stressed out? Anybody here feel like you're running on empty? Are any of you here ready to lose it? Is there anybody in here that can relate to the stare of that Marine? This is a big deal to God. I want you to know that. This is a big deal to God, that this is not healthy. And that's why God gave a command that his people would take a day of rest to get off the battlefield of life once a week, 6 days, labor and joy, work unto the Lord, but rest. Now, I want to read you a verse that's very precious to me. And this verse actually had a lot into my life a few years ago, you guys probably remember, I went through a time of sabbatical. I had to kind of rest, have an extended time of rest. I love this verse. Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 31. It says, the apostles gathered around Jesus, and they were working, people. They reported to him all they had done and all they had taught. And then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat. And Jesus said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. I love this verse. Though this verse wasn't on a Sabbath, per se, the principle that God sees us intimately, cares for us, sees imbalances in us, and says, you need to come away with me. There's the spirit of Sabbath in this verse. People are working. You guys are over the top. You're starting to get that stare. Jesus sees it and says, hey guys, you haven't even eaten today. I need you to come with me. Let's get away. Let's refocus. Let's reprioritize. Let's just kind of rest a wee bit before we get back in the fight. Don't you love this verse? Do you see the heart of God in this verse? God in human flesh, Jesus himself, sees his disciples working hard. He's a good commanding officer. He cares about his soldiers. Come with me. It's time for balance, people. It's time to rest. Okay? God expects his people to be people of balance. You work hard under the Lord, and you know the secret. You experience the experience of resting in God. People, soldiers, have you learned this? Have you learned this? Notice in the verse, Jesus says, come with me. Hey guys, come with me and get some rest. Biblical Sabbath is rest in God. Come with Jesus and get some rest. Here's a picture of a guy that's kind of taking it easy. This is not Sabbath. Do I hear an amen? This is not what God was talking about for you to do on a Sunday. Am I right? This is not what God was talking about with Sabbath. This is to walk with Jesus, to recharge with Jesus. Sabbath is set aside as a time for us to rest in God's presence, to orbit God, to find perspective, to recharge. It's like these, you know, you're recharging your cars. God is a place where we recharge. Take notes. Jesus is our Shabbat. Jesus is our rest. Not football. Jesus is our Shabbat. Jesus is our rest. Remember, you come away with me, Jesus says, and we'll get some rest. It's in the presence of Jesus we find rest. I love this verse in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you what, people? What does Jesus give you? As you come to who? Him. He gives us rest. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find what for your souls? Rest. Jesus is our Shabbat, our rest. And God has set aside one day a week when we're to rest in God. It's interesting. I want to say this. The army cares about physical training. The army totally cares about physical training. When Sin and I went to go see my son graduate after 10 weeks of basic training, he had put on 20 pounds in 10 weeks, all muscle. I asked, hey, Jeremiah, how many push-ups did you do? Any guesses? 3,000. Yeah, thousands. Thousands. The military cares about physical training. It's important. Hey, if you owned a $1 million racehorse, would you keep that racehorse up all night watching binge flicks of Netflix and eating junk food? If you owned a $1 million racehorse, would you keep that racehorse up all night watching binge flicks Netflix and eating junk food? Anyone? You know, you live in a $1 million body. You live in a $1 million body that's fearfully and wonderfully made. And you only get how many of these bodies? One. God gave it to you. And you are to take care of it. You should watch over your body. It's a $1 million body. And how you treat that body is important. The military found out that we just don't care about physical training. We have to care about inner emotional strength of our soldiers, or they cannot accomplish their mission. God knew this all along. God just doesn't care about the body that he cares about you. He cares about you mentally and spiritually. is a three-dimensional being. God cares for you to be people of balance, people of work, people of rest. Jesus is our rest. And from resting in his presence, we find what?
Peace.
Take notes. Jesus is our Shabbat. Jesus is our Shalom. Jesus is our Shalom. He is rest and he is peace. John 14, 27, Jesus said these words the night before he died. Listen to this. He says, peace I leave with you. What kind of peace? My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. He says, do not let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. In Jesus' presence, we find his rest for us, and in his presence, we find his peace for us. Do I hear an amen? God wants you to be people of balance. He doesn't want you to have that look on your face that Marine has. And for you to be people of balance and not burn out, God commands you to take a day of rest for your own good. It's for your own good. There is a big debate in the days of Jesus. And Jesus says, time out. He goes, the Sabbath, man wasn't made to honor or to serve the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made to serve man. There was all messed up in the days of Jesus. Jesus, time out. The heart of Sabbath, it's for mankind. It's for my brothers and sisters. It's for us to rest. Hey, why aren't I teaching this sermon on Saturday? What day is today? Pastor Frank, how come we're not at church on Saturday? Good question. The early Christians, the early Jewish believers, did you know that the first followers of Jesus was all Jewish? As a matter of fact, how many people in here is not Jewish? Raise your hand. Do you know that we freaked out the early church? They had no idea that the Messiah would come for non-Jewish people. Tells us, my Jesus is for you people too. First to the Jew and then to the Gentile. The early believers were all Jewish. And what they did is they went to the temple on Saturday and worshiped. And then on Sunday morning, they met in homes together. The first day of the week, it's called the took communion, and they would study the New Testament scriptures. And when the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, they no longer met on Saturday. The followers of Jesus began meeting the first day of the week. It's called the Lord's Day, because the first day of the week is the day that Jesus arose from the dead. So that's why Christians started meeting on Sunday, and we continue to meet on Sunday. Though Messianic Jews, like Shuva, met here yesterday. But for us, we've been meeting for 2,000 years on Sunday, as our Sabbath, go figure. Kind of cool, right? How should we approach a day of rest? How should you and I approach Sabbath? I just want to give you some thoughts for this morning. Can I encourage you this way? Take notes. Greet God in the morning. Hey, if it's Sunday morning, I mean, every morning, greet God, people. But when you wake up on Sunday morning, wake up and say, good morning, Lord. It's the day of rest. It's Sunday. I love Psalm 53. King David says, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. Isn't that beautiful? In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. In the morning. Can I encourage you? How should I approach Sabbath? When you wake up in the morning, say good morning to God. Good morning, Lord. Lamentations is a great verse. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I quote this verse in the morning. Good morning, Lord. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. What a good way to start a day. So I think on God. If you want to approach Sabbath, approach by saying good morning to the Lord. Wake up and just think on him and reflect. And can I say this? When you wake up in the morning, seek a spirit of thankfulness. A spirit of thankfulness. Hey, it's Sunday morning. Every morning you should wake up and say good morning to God. And every morning you should have a spirit of thankfulness. But can I say this? It's Sunday morning. Wake up and say good morning, Lord, and seek a spirit of thankfulness. I love this verse in Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with what? Thanksgiving. Talk to God. Hey, parents, do you love it when your kids are thankful? It's funny, you know, our kids will always tell us what they want, especially around Christmas. How cool is it when a kid says, I'm just thankful for what you've given me. I'm just thankful for what I have. Hey, mom and dad, have I ever said thank you? You know, God's like that. How many times do we just make our requests before the Lord? Well, how about just kind of saying, I just want to tell you I'm thankful today. How many people in here are thankful? What are you thankful for? Another day? What? A roof over my head. What are you thankful for? Everything. Come on, be specific. Dad, just thank you. Every breath. Are you guys thankful for every breath that you breathe? I'm grateful for it. I'm thankful for our dog, too. I love our little dog. God, you just made a cool dog. What are you thankful for, people? What family. Amen. What are you thankful for over here? What are you thankful for? Come on. Salvation. You kind of dig on Jesus a little bit, don't you? You thankful for him? Have you told him that today? I'm really thankful for you, Jesus. What are you guys thankful for right here? Good health. Friends. What are you thankful for? Church. Family. People. Me. Thanks. Oh, that's nice. Hey, you wake up in the morning and you say, God, good morning. It's Sabbath. It's Sunday. It's a day of rest. It's a day I don't have to work today. Man, God, thankful. Thank you, Lord. It's a good thing. You guys, you know what? I'm telling you, I'll straight up. We still have our Christmas cards in our house. There's a girl, I mentioned this. Her name is Kim. She was in my youth group years ago. And she married a young man that was in my youth group. They got three kids. She's probably closer in their 40s. And there's a picture of her and her three kids and her husband. And she took this picture in November right before she went under the knife to have a double mastectomy. She's got breast cancer. She's now bald. She's lost all her hair. And she's doing chemotherapy and radiation. And every morning I pray for her. And every morning I'm thankful. I'm thankful for my health today. How do you want to Sabbath? How about saying good morning, Lord? How about just having a spirit of thankfulness? Thanking the Lord. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, rejoice always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? So wake up, give God praise, have a spirit of thankfulness. People come to church. Come to church. Hebrews 10:25. not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. The gathering of believers. Synagogue means gathering. Church means gathering. Gathering of believers. You know, it's funny. Every now and then I'll meet someone at, you know, after the service, and they'll be like, "Pastor Frank, I'm so glad I decided to come to church today." And in my mind, I'm going, well, what else would you do? What, do you just wake up in the morning and say, do I feel like coming to church today? Is that how you approach the gym? Well, that approach going to the gym?
Crazy.
Based upon, do I feel like I want to do? What do I feel like I want to go to the gym today? Do you know what you call those people? What do you call? I used to teach at Biola University. God bless those 42 freshmen in my class, right? If what my students woke up to, if they want, is that how they approach my class? They wake up and they say, do I feel like going to BBST 103, Biblical Interpretation and Spiritual Formation with Professor Winans? Do I feel like going today? Do you know what you call students? You know what you call them? What do you call them?
Lazy.
Dropouts. Is that people? You schedule it. You schedule it. You schedule it. God scheduled you to be in the assembly of believers. God scheduled you. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. But on the seventh, who scheduled this? God did. On the seventh is a day of rest. It's a day of gathering. You schedule church, and you come on time. Do I hear an amen?
Amen?
You schedule it. You don't wake up and go, do I feel like it? No, you don't. You schedule it. You come to church. It's a gathering where we encourage one another as soldiers in Christ. You guys had a long week last week. I get it. So did I. We gather here and we center on God. We open up His teaching, His Word. We study the Lord. You come to church. You schedule church. Take this note. You ready? Here's one. Be still. How should I approach Sabbath? Say good morning. Have a spirit of thankfulness. Come to church. Be still. Psalm 46:10, he says, be still and know that I'm God. You know what's so pathetic? You go to the park, and there's dad walking his little, like, four-year-old kid at the park. And you know what dad's doing? This. With his kid. And I'm going, turn it off. You're missing it. You're at the park with your four-year-old son. Turn the stupid thing off. Do I hear an amen? You're missing it. Once a week, you're supposed to connect with God. And to be in His presence, be still. Turn it off. That's the hardest thing for you and I in this room. Be still and know that I'm God. Probably the most difficult command you'll ever have, you Californians, you Orange Countyans. Be still? I can't be still. I don't know how to be still. Turn it off on a Sunday. You're missing it. Be still and know that I'm God. Psalm 37:7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways and when they carry out their wicked schemes, but you just wait on the Lord. It's beautiful, man. How about this one? Focus your thoughts. It's Sabbath. Focus your thoughts. I love this verse. Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Man, that's a perfect Sunday verse. Turn it off, focus your thoughts, and think on Jesus. Picture him seated at the right hand of God. Revelation 4, I'm going to read this to you, and I absolutely dig this verse. So set your mind on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. How about this verse? The Apostle John in the book of Revelation gets revelations of heaven. He sees Jesus in a resurrected state, and he says, read the gospel of, or the book of Revelation. The Apostle John says when he saw Jesus in his glorified state, he was scared to death. Jesus was shining like the sun, radiant in glory. He freaked out when he saw Jesus. And in Revelation 4, he describes the scene of heaven. Listen to this. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here and I will show you what must take place. At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it, and the one who sat on it there had the appearance of jasper and ruby, a rainbow that shone like an emerald circled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones. Seated on them was 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne came flashes of lightning and rumbles and peals of thunder. And in front of the throne, seven lampstands blazing, which are seven spirits of God. And in front of the throne, so I looked, there's a sea of glass of clear crystal. That's the flooring. And in the center and around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. Can you see that scene? Set your mind above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Do you see that? The throne of God. Thunder and lightning. A sea of crystal, glass, flooring. Angels worshiping, and the one sitting on that throne is like the radiant sun. Do you see it? Now you walk in there. Go ahead. You walk in there, and you take all your problems into that throne room. Take your fears. Take your worries and walk in there. Do you see him? What just happened to your fears? Did they increase or decrease? What happened to your worries? Did they increase or decrease? The person on that throne is your rest. The person on that throne is your peace. The person that sits on that throne is for you and loves you. The scripture says we can come into the throne room of God with boldness, but with reverence. Every Sunday you need to come into that room, people, because it's in this room is where you get recharged. It's in this room where you get refocused. It's in this room where you once again orbit God and center your life on him. It's here is where we get perspective. And it's in this room you lose that 1,000-yard stare because you see Christ. Do you get it? Have you spent much time in that room lately? Jesus says, come with me in the boat. We're going to go to a place. I need you to come away with me and rest. It's called Sabbath. It's called rest. God expects you, his soldier, to fight the good fight of faith. You fight it. Have you heard the rumor? It's a tough world out there. Have you all heard that rumor? It's a tough place out there. Jesus totally understands it. He walked in that world. And he tells you to engage in that world. But you take a day and you come and you rest in the presence of God. And you recharge yourself to go back into the fight. People, I'm learning this. I'm learning this. You know, your last note, write other. Write other. What else? However you connect with God, you should do that. If it's Sunday and you're a person that loves nature, go for a walk with Jesus. If it's Sunday and you just have a cognitive pathway, open up the Bible and 5 commentaries and go for it on Sunday and connect with God. People, I love listening to worship music. In the morning, I turn on worship music. When I'm driving in the car, I'm worshiping, and it helps me. That's one of my pathways. Whatever your pathway is, you connect with God. You write down your other, and you can share that in your groups this week. How should we approach Sabbath? God commands us to rest. To not do it is disobedience. God wants you not to have the 1,000-yard stare. He doesn't want you to have shell shock. God commands you to rest. He knows you. He cares about you as a commanding officer. He loves you. He wants you to engage in life, and he wants you to be recharged in his presence. And it's the mystery of learning Sabbath, I'm telling you. And I'm still learning it, people. As you well know, in 2014, Pastor Frank had hives from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. I was thinking of showing a picture, and I'm like, I don't even want to show you it because it just depresses me to see it. I actually had my body rebelled against me. Some of you think, Pastor Frank, why would you be stressed out? You only work a week anyway, right? I didn't say that, Lord. You knucklehead. Hey, I understand. You run in businesses and employees. I get it. I understand. Do you know the number one white-collar job in America, burnout, is mine? Did you all know that? The number one white-collar job in America that suffers burnout's my job. Walk a mile in my shoes. I had a mental, my body rebelled, and I had to go through 3 months of sabbatical just to recalibrate myself and retool myself. And I had to relearn what Sabbath was all about. I had to learn how to take time with God and learn how to walk into that throne room and give away your problems to him. Jesus, I'm just your shepherd, and these are your people, and I'm just the person here representing you, but these are your people. The problem is sometimes I care so much about you guys, it gets to me. When you lose your job, it gets me. When your marriage is falling apart, it gets me. When you have cancer, it gets me. And I have to learn to give it up to the Lord, and I wasn't doing a very good job with it. And I had to retool myself and learn Sabbath. I get it, people. I get it. Are you overwhelmed? Are you stressed out? Sunday morning, you came into this place Sunday morning. Did you come in here with just burdens beyond belief? Did you come in here with stress beyond belief? Are you just on the verge of losing it? I want you to know that God cares about you. He calls you to himself. The worship team's going to come back up, and we're going to sing that song again, Shabbat and Shalom. And I want you to make this song a prayer. I want you to just focus. I want you to, in your mind, go to the throne room of Revelation 4 and picture Jesus seated in the throne of heaven, and you walking in there with all your problems, and you just start talking to God. Give him your rest. I want you to leave here today with the ability that you've given God your stuff and that he's given you his rest and peace. If you want someone to pray for you for these next two songs, I'm going to ask, Pastor Graham's going to be up in the balcony. Pastor Vince is on rest. So Pastor Graham's going to be up in the balcony. If you want people to pray up there, if Casey and Beth, if you're up there, it'd be great. Down here, I'm going to ask my wife to come and be here, and my brother Mike and Pat to come up here. You guys, during this next two song set, the Bible says if you have stuff you need prayer, come to the leaders of the church. So we'd be honored to pray with you, okay? Jesus is rest, your rest. I pray that you find rest in Christ. Jesus is your Shabbat. Jesus is your Shalom. Lord, I pray that you would bring your rest upon us right now. May the Spirit of God fall on this place. Lord, may you speak into your people individually, God. I ask, Lord, that you would just do a cleansing work in our minds. In Jesus' name.